In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Your saints of God, I've always wondered, what would it be like to have John the Baptist as your pastor? I mean, we all want a pastor who's going to speak the truth, but we also expect a pastor to have a little bit of polish and be friendly and good with people. And this guy wore a leather belt around clothing of camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist wouldn't care if he offended anyone. He wouldn't care what you thought of him. He preached the truth, whatever it was, whether you wanted to hear it or not. You'd be concerned that maybe he's a little too forthcoming and he's starting to scare away all the visitors. And maybe it'd be nice if he dressed up a little bit. But you can't get rid of him. I mean, you can't just stop paying him. He's fine with eating locusts and wild honey. You remember the time John the Baptist preached against Herod the king because he took his brother's wife as his own. And at the request of Herodias, Herod had John bound and thrown in jail. And so at this time, Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. And Jesus says this, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man dressed in soft clothing?" And then Jesus says this, "A prophet and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one whom is written about, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist.'" With such a statement by Jesus, you'd think that we would all want such a prophet as our pastor. Well, here's a little example of John's preaching. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee to the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Everyone wants a preacher of the truth, but wants a preacher that might sugarcoat it just a little bit rather than brood of vipers. Well, John wasn't afraid to preach the law. He preached a message of repentance. And this is a true prophet's preaching. It is a preaching that wasn't often heard in the synagogue of Jesus' day. Now, the rabbis of Jesus' day were preaching about the law as well, but not like John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached that the people are breakers of the law. The preaching common of the day among rabbis was preaching to be keepers of the law, that they would teach how many steps they could take on the Sabbath from home without it be considered a work on the Sabbath. Or they teach not to spit on the ground lest it accidentally water a plant, which would be considered work on the Sabbath. And if you followed all of their rules, then you would be right with God. And you know what? People love this kind of preaching. It was the kind of preaching that was a how-to of sorts. A preaching that said you were the answer to your own problem. That all you have to do is follow the law that God gave you. And this is the preaching that generally draws a crowd, and it still does. People know that their lives are messed up. And they'll buy any self-help book to help and try to find the answer to fix it. But the kind of preaching that isn't so popular is the kind of preaching that calls you a sinner. That tells you that there are no resources that you can use to improve your own condition. It's a preaching of judgment. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, I don't think we would like John the Baptist as our pastor very much. But that is our sinful nature talking. Jesus says John the Baptist is the greatest prophet. And it's your sinful nature that doesn't want to hear that stuff about judgment, because it's the stuff about truth. It's your sinful nature that only want to hear things that are positive and happy, the kinds of things that will let me walk out with a warm smile. But an axe cutting you off and throwing you into the fire, no thanks. And yet, that is something that we need to hear. That when God sends his messenger to prepare the way of the Lord, his messenger is a messenger that preaches repentance. This is how Isaiah foretold the coming of John the Baptist. It says, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill become level ways. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Isaiah delivers a picture of a mountain range that has high points and it has low valleys. And it says that this messenger will take the low parts and will fill them up, and he'll take the high parts and level them out. Well, what this is talking about is John's preaching. That if you're high, that is to say, if you're proud, if you think that you are self-sufficient before God by your works, if you think that you are a keeper of the law, if you think that you don't need the Lord's mercy and that you can keep all his laws, then John the Baptist comes and he levels that mountain down. But for those of you who are low, who are broken, who are contrite, who are repentant, those of you who fear a holy God, for those who know their sins and have no excuse for them, who say, "I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment," for such a person, no punishment is given. But John's preaching takes the low places and makes them high. He comforts the broken with the message of our coming Lord. When John the Baptist is sent to preach, to prepare the way of the Lord, it deals with preparing you. That the purpose of the Lord's coming is to give the forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus comes. That's the reason he's born of a virgin. That's the reason he allows himself to be arrested and crucified. For no other reason than to give you the forgiveness of sins. Now, if the Lord is going to be about forgiving sins, then he needs people who are going to be willing to call themselves sinners. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And it's only the hungry who need food. And if the Lord comes to grant forgiveness, and you are found desiring no forgiveness at all, then his coming will be rather trivial at best. So as uncomfortable as it may be, John the Baptist and other preachers of the law are doing a God-given work to prepare you for the Lord's coming. So are you well prepared when the high mountains are brought low? We confess in the common service this great confession of sin. "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment." And I never would question one's sincerity, but to look at the depth of that confession. That what we are saying is that our actions and our thoughts are entirely offensive to God. And what's more, what we're saying is that we deserve to get from God punishment, both temporally and eternally. According to our flesh, according to our sin, that is indeed what we deserve. But that's not what God gives us. John the Baptist was critical of his hearers that they should bear fruit in keeping with repentance. That is to say, if we were repentant, if we say we're repentant, then our lives should reflect that repentance. if we went and robbed a bank and then later confessed, in fact, I did rob the bank, then the fruit of repentance would be giving the money back and turning ourselves in. It wouldn't be fruit in keeping with repentance if then we went shopping. Dear saints, Jesus comes only for sinners. Preaching that tears you down is a gift because it tears down your pride. It exposes sin, your selfishness, and your stubbornness. And unless all that is exposed, unless you see what you truly deserve because of sin, then you would never care about Jesus or what he comes to do. Repentance is a gift of God. If you can stop and look at your life and recognize that you have sinned against God and be sorry about that, that is a gift given to you from God himself. And if that's you, the Lord has something very specific to tell you. If you have sorrow for what you've done, that what you have done in thought, word, and deed is not what is in line with God's word, then God wants you to know he forgives all of your sins. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. That Jesus lives, that he may die, so that though you die, you may live. At first, it might sound like John the Baptist is someone you wouldn't want as your pastor, a little too rough around the edges, and a failure to tone it down a bit. But the harshness that comes from his mouth is a harshness of God's word that we need to hear. Because the reason John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the coming Savior is that John is the one who says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said to Jesus, "I'm not fit to untie even your sandal." And he said of Jesus, "I must decrease and he must increase." What might seem like a harsh preaching of judgment is needed for your sinful flesh, that you may have the certainty and the comfort of life everlasting in Jesus. John comes to point to Jesus. As any preacher's job it is to point to Jesus. And Jesus comes not that you would see judgment and destruction, but that Jesus comes that you would have forgiveness, that you would have eternal life and salvation. And that's what you have. Baptized into his name, you have been given life and the righteousness of Christ. And since you are made his child, God promises he will never leave you or forsake you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.